Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is one Tracy recording at 1:11 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time. Today is November 21st, and it was a pretty robust day today in Asia, with Chinese shares in particular rallying pretty well. And if we look at the H share index, it has been marching higher in a very consistent manner since the beginning of 2016. It hasn't been the best performing market in the world, but it is up about 50% since the beginning of 2016, and it continues to hold this progression of higher reaction lows and this staircase step sequence uptrend with one range above another, and it moved on to a new recovery high in here today. And it was a pretty similar story for mainland China, with the A-share index also up in a pretty robust manner. But you can see that the trend hasn't been nearly as consistent over just the last year. And the advance has been much more modest on the A-share index relative to what we saw on the H-shares. But it is marching generally higher, and this has been largely manufactured, considering the extent of the bubbly activity or euphoria that we had with the release of the options market in 2015. And this now is also bouncing from that 3500 area, which had been an area of resistance previously. If we just stick with China for one more moment and look at the banking sector, then that's also returning to outperformance. This has been a range that has found support in the region of the upper side of the underlying range and also the region of the trend mean, and it moved to a new recovery high this week. If we look at that on, for example, the 10-year basis, then we can see that banks have by and large been doing somewhat better, that they gave up less of the advance that they had in 2015. Of course, they also rallied less, but they're back in a recovery trajectory. That this is, I think, rather important, because what do we hear most about China? It's the extent of leverage in the system. And we also know that that's going to be important for places like Australia and indeed Canada. But when we look at the performance of Chinese equities, then we don't see a great deal of evidence of trouble. There is no evidence of a loss of consistency. Rather, what we're seeing is a slow and steady advance. There's no real sign of speculation contributing to acceleration in these equity markets. It might be also worth considering what's happening with the Chinese 10-year bond yield, which has been surging higher. It's up to about 4% now. And if we look at that with about as much history as we can find, which is really only back as far as about 2006, it's been largely range-bound, and yields really did get down really tight at the end of last year, and they've been expanding for most of this year. Part of the reason for that is because what's going on in China is very much under the surface. There's almost a sotto voce tightening going on, whereas at the same time they're also loosening. So they are trying to tighten down on the shadow banking sector, and that is having mixed effects. Whereas the consumer-driven payment system in particular, and things like Alipay, have had exponential growth, not least because they are relatively unconstrained. That's also why the regulator moved in and insisted that they move through a clearinghouse beginning in next year, so that they can be brought more within the realm of the banking regulator. But when we look at the shares of, for example, Tencent, which rallied again today and has now overtaken Facebook's market cap, we can also see that we know where the growth is happening in the Chinese economy. It is in the new economy, in the tech sector. And Tencent was not able to hold its advance in here today. It has been accelerating higher. It is most certainly due some consolidation. When we look at this chart over the last year, rather than focus primarily on the magnitude of the advance, which is itself incredibly impressive, and there has most definitely been an acceleration higher, rather look at the consistency of the size of the reactions. Those reactions are in the region of between 20 and 30 Hong Kong dollars. We haven't had a reaction of more than that in at least a year. And therefore, with the peak today around 440, a decline below 410 would be required to signal that we're having a reaction of what is outside, inverted commas, the normal range. And therefore, but this is certainly a time for, I think, trailing stops, considering the speed with which it is advancing. And of course, Alibaba being, there's nobody comparing Alibaba's size to Facebook. It has been, already was one of the biggest IPOs ever, and it has also been trending higher reasonably consistently this year. The reaction has, or at least the pace of the advance has moderated, and we've had a loss of momentum, but it still continues to hold this progression of higher reaction lows. And this is also important, because considering that these are the shares that have done best, if they were to be rolling over, and then that would suggest some questions being asked about China. But so far, the fact is that we do not have a great deal of evidence that there is an imminent economic trouble in China, and we are still in a period of synchronized global economic expansion. This was also a reasonably positive day in Japan. And the Nikkei future is currently up about 200 points, but it continues to hold that region of 22,000, where we had the upside Q reversal last week. And so far, the reaction has been relatively modest, and it is just the first reaction following really quite an impressive breakout and move above that psychological 20,000 level. But perhaps more important to bear in mind is that the second section index has been a reliable lead indicator for years. It's something that we've been talking about for the better part of a decade with regard to Japan, and the second section has bounced pretty impressively from that 6600 level. The index has paused around round numbers on a number of occasions over the last few years. It paused at 5, it paused at 6, and now it's pausing at 7,000. And so far, this reaction has been relatively modest. It's unwound about half of the overextension relative to the trend mean, and as long as that remains the case, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. If the second section's reaction is simply limited to about 500 points, which would be pretty similar to what we saw back in April, then that would be indicative of still a consistent advance. And if it does break above 7,000, then the odds are that the Nikkei will do the same not that long afterwards. What I also think is important to keep in mind with regard to Japan is the banking sector, just like any other sector, that it did get right up to the upper side of its range for the year and pulled back and has now unwound its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. This is about where it should be finding support, and so far we are getting some evidence that that is indeed the case. We've also seen pretty impressive advances right across the Asian region, but when we think about the Japanese market, I think it is also worth highlighting that Taiwan and Japan are relatively closely related, and the Taiwanese market had broken above that 10,000 level almost 6 months ahead of when Japan had broken upwards, and that's a substantial lead. And considering also that the Taiwanese market had been ranging for over 20 years below that 10,000 level. Then, when we look at the European markets, they were broadly in positive territory, and the DAX index was among the better performing indices in Europe, having pulled back for most of the first week of November. It has now bounced from that 13,000 level, and really a sustained move below the low that we saw on the 15th would be really required to question that this isn't the extent of this range, that it has found support in the region of the previous peak, and it hasn't quite unwound all of the overextension, but this remains still a relatively benign environment. Today was a pretty quiet day in the currency markets, but I think that if we were to take a somewhat longer term view and simply look at treasury yields over the last almost 10 years, the yield today is just about where it was in December of 2008. There's been a pretty well-defined range since about 2011. This has base formation characteristics. And we know that a range is an explosion waiting to happen, and that breakouts from ranges are necessarily both surprising and that abrupt in nature, that they tend to move faster and farther than people had initially thought possible. And that is certainly a potential outcome from this base formation. But perhaps not yet. We also know that next year, though, does have some pretty big uncertainties. The first, of course, is that we are going to have a new Fed chair, and indeed that there are going to be four of the seven seats will be vacant. So President Trump has got an unprecedented opportunity to reshape the makeup of the central bank, and he will almost certainly take that opportunity to shape it in the image that he prefers. That could potentially be even more dovish. But if it is more dovish, we're almost certainly going to get an inflationary outcome. If it's not more dovish, then it's likely to create an issue for credit markets, because you have Goldman Sachs thinking that they're going to raise rates four times next year and once more this year. That's five interest rate increases and another point and a quarter on the yield could take it from the current 2.36 well in excess of 3.5. So that would represent a pretty impressive move. And whereas that will obviously be an issue for the sovereign sector, it could be an even bigger issue for the high yield sector. High yield spreads are still close to record lows. And when we think about what the potential is for interest rate hikes, then the potential here is that high yield spreads do begin to expand, and that will put the most pressure on the most highly leveraged companies, and among those are Tesla, Uber, and Netflix. Well, obviously, Uber is not publicly traded, but Netflix and Tesla certainly are. So I think monitoring those particular shares would also offer us some insight into how companies are accessing credit. And Tesla is still holding that region of the $300 area, and I do think that $300 is a bit of a Rubicon for the share, whereas Netflix continues to pause around 200, but remains within a generally consistent and really highly impressive advance, having pretty much doubled in the last 12 months. And these are only two examples. There are a significant number of high yield shares that have done really rather well from incredibly easy credit conditions, and when that eventually changes, then it's likely to represent an issue for these companies, and then that could be the thin end of the wedge for a problem somewhere in the bond markets. But probably not until we have the next recession. And right now, we're still in a period of synchronized global economic expansion, and we continue to see that stock markets are still in pretty robust form. In fact, as we approach Thanksgiving, that is generally the starting gun for a Santa Claus rally, and one of the most benign times, or seasonally benign times of the year for stock markets. So there is certainly some value to contemplating when the next recession might be, but there is no evidence that it is going to be this year. And therefore, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The S&P 500 took out the 2600 area in here today. And this, when we look at it over the last 20 years, it re represents really quite an impressive advance. And breaking out of a very lengthy range back in 2013, that it has not only been an impressive performer in nominal terms, but also in terms of leadership. That when we go back and think about all those Asian markets that are really only now breaking up out of lengthy ranges, that Wall Street has represented not only relative strength, but also that it is representing leadership in a temporal sense. And not only is it the largest market in the world, but that alone would give it a leash effect on everything else. So what happens on Wall Street is likely to have a knock-on effect just about everywhere else, and therefore is worth monitoring. When we look at the oil price, it continues to hold the $60 area. And this looks like a recovery scenario. We know that there are medium-term headwinds, but so far the price has held the $60 area, and as long as it is doing that, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Gold prices have been quite volatile. They were knocked, they were up on Friday, knocked back yesterday, and were in slightly positive territory in here today. When we look at for example, gold today at the present moment, it's trading at 1,279. So it was a little steadier in here today, up about $4. And platinum was up $11. Platinum has bounced once more from that $900 area. And this looks has at least got really quite well-defined ranging characteristics. The fact that it pulled back very sharply yesterday. This chart hasn't really quite updated yet. I should have access to the Bloomberg tomorrow so I can update the charts before I do the charts. I'll do the audio and video. But the fact that platinum is up into the 930s would suggest that we're getting at least some evidence of demand coming back here at the lower side of this range. I personally think that platinum has been unjustifiably maligned because everyone thinks that there aren't going to be any more diesel engines. Well, that might yet be the case, but is that an imminent threat? That is, I think, a big question. When we think about the outlook for the precious metal markets, then certainly it does have safe haven characteristics, and in a generally benign environment for resources it should be doing better. But I think that certainly Bitcoin is beginning to steal, or not beginning, but is stealing some of the precious metals thunder as an uncorrelated safe haven asset. It has done spectacularly well, and it is completely uncorrelated with other markets. It pulled back intraday today below 8,000 following a theft from one of the exchanges, and that does highlight the risk attached to this market, that thefts and substantial thefts from these exchanges are not all that uncommon. But it continues to hold this break above 8,000 to new highs, and it does have some clear consistency characteristics, which are that it has ranges one above another, that generally speaking these breakouts are sustained, so it will have to sustain this breakout. The next time we have a spike on the upside, we can expect that there will be a short sharp pullback, but that the previous peak should offer an area of support, and therefore this level here around 7,800 is going to be an important level in monitoring the consistency of this trend. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.